This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
At the moment, we have Anthony Fitzpatrick, and Anthony is the curator of the Tarawarra Museum of Art in Hillsville, and they currently have a Sydney Nolan exhibition up called Myth Rider. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
My great pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And sorry for David's terrible segue.
No, that's fine. I was enjoying the discussion. I remember that episode of The Simpsons, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant. Now, give us a bit of a background on who you are and your little journey to becoming a curator at a wonderful gallery, and also Sydney Nolan. Hello.
Yeah, sure thing. I've been a curator at Tarawarra Museum of Art for coming up to 11 years now.
So, oh, wow.
A little while, but yeah, so we're located out in beautiful Wurundjeri country in the Yarra Valley, about an hour out of Melbourne. So yeah, it's been a real privilege to be working at such an extraordinary museum in such a stunning location. But my background actually, I studied classics and literature, first of all, rather than sort of art and art history, which is probably the normal background to becoming a visual arts curator. And at one stage, I actually did toy with the idea of, going more into museum studies and perhaps, following through on the more, archaeological approach to looking at artifacts and more, older kind of objects and history. But
Anthony, what sort of stuff? Are we talking, early century, last century here, or Egyptian?
Probably. Going back to antiquity to ancient history, and I was sort of really interested in and studied the archaeological sites of ancient Greece and so forth in my undergrad years. So I did actually consider that for a while, but at the same time I was still visiting sort of galleries and around town, and was getting really excited by contemporary art and things, and in the end that won out, and so I enrolled in Master of Arts Curatorship at Melbourne Uni. So that's sort of really where I learnt the ropes and my teeth at a couple of smaller galleries before starting.
That's what I was going to ask, Anthony. What made you switch over from, I suppose, antiquities and museums over to art and, I suppose, practically art history as well? But was it just the fact, was it going around to galleries, seeing what was going on, that sort of just edged that interest that way, basically?
Yeah, and I think I kind of came to understand that archaeology wasn't maybe as glamorous as, I'm sifting through sand with not much results.
for no results.
It's a fascinating area, but I think just the sort of I kind of thought felt that contemporary visual art had much more relevance and currency for sort of the things I was wanting to explore. It became a means for me to sort of,
Apart from watching The Simpsons and knowing Krusty the Clown did send to the clowns, did you actually think that you might have been Raiders of the Lost Ark, with the whip and the hat and all that? Or was that what drew you to it?
I definitely grew up in that generation. we're everywhere and, boy my age probably indulged in that a little bit, Jones.
That's what I was going to mention when you sort of said about wasn't as glamorous. I thought, was that before maybe, Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Mummy, the Mummy and Lara Crofts and all that sort of stuff basically the mainstream.
All right. Let's talk about Sydney Nolan. For those who have lived under a rock all their lives, who was Sydney Nolan?
Sydney Nolan's probably, he's one of those few handful of Australian artists who are identified by only their surname. There's probably a couple, Nolan, Whiteley, you know, maybe smart as well. You know, there's these artists who, I guess, really managed to capture the, you know, the imaginations of, you know, not just their own generation, but generations afterwards, through, I guess, you know, their unique visions and their, you know, incredible trajectories of their practices. And Sidney Nolan, obviously best known for his series on the Bush Ranger Ned Kelly, and funnily enough, that iconic series is currently touring the country, and I think it's currently showing down in Hobart. So you know, a whole new generation of audiences are, you know, able to discover those incredible luminous paintings.
Yeah, and of course, you know, at the Sydney Olympics, the 2000 Olympics, there was a whole section of the. Those heads around the arena, and also he's interesting. You know how bohemian he was as an artist. Tell our listeners.
Yeah, sure. No, he, you know, he actually for a period he, you know, wasn't sure whether he wanted to be a poet or an artist, because he was equally fascinated in you know, lots of poetry. You know, he was a huge fan of Arthur Rimbaud, the French symbolist poet. And, you know, in his early 20s, he was sort of knocking around Melbourne, going to the, sort of not going to art school as much as, you know, spending time, you know, talking with friends or going to the State Library and devouring all this incredible literature. And his early practice was very sort of experimental, a lot of abstract paintings and, you know, he really worked with, you know, whatever came to hand, you know, so obviously, you know, some of his works, you know, things like boot polish and things in them. So, but he was part of an extraordinary sort of vibrant scene in Melbourne. And then, of course, in the 1940s, he moved in to the house at Heidi with Sunday and John Reed. And that's where he painted those Ned Kelly series.
And they sat in the milking shed. When he went off and did other things, they were sitting in the old cow milking shed. I always find it fascinating, these paintings that are so famous. Were, you know, like anything could have happened to them at that time.
I think they did need a bit of cleaning afterwards. But
I could imagine they would.
I think he painted on board in essentially, you know, house paint and things. They were pretty robust things.
I suppose.
You know,
yeah.
So they obviously were able to stand the test of being stored in very non-conservation environments, let's say.
And the whole thing of, you know, like that whole collective of people, all those famous artists that were all living together, and you know, like their lifestyle was pretty free and easy too, wasn't it? You know, like they're all sleeping with other different people's husbands and wives, and it was pretty interesting stuff for the
year. I mean, for anyone who's interested, there's a fantastic book called... Modern Life, I think. Kendra Morgan and Leslie Harding have written a fantastic account of that whole period. So for anyone who's interested, it sort of traces it back right back to the sort of beginning of the 20th century and traces that journey. But, yeah, really kind of delves deep into that whole milieu and, you know, a really exciting time. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, it's become legendary, I suppose, the Angry Penguins, as they're now known, or the Heidi Circle, and produced a number of great artists, Joy Hester and, you know, Albert Tucker sort of emerged out of that scene as well. So
house is still there as well, isn't it? You can walk up the hill to that.
Well, it's now sort of a museum space that's been converted into, but you can actually sort of see the original space, you know, which they all had their, you know, intellectual discussions in there. And so forth. And, Heidi's a wonderful location and an extraordinary part of you know, Melbourne's history, really.
Yeah.
And so for this current exhibition, it sounds like you've gone through so many different artworks to collect over 100 for this particular exhibition. What are the parallels that you yourself and also that Sidney Nolan have drawn between the Trojan War and Gallipoli? Because it sounds like they're quite closely linked in your curation here.
Sure, yeah. No, actually, the whole project's kind of been a bit of an exercise in archaeology in a way.
Hey, there we go.
No, it's, you know, required lot of digging, essentially, and I was fortunate to sort of have access to the papers of Sidney Nolan, which are now in the National Library of Australia in Canberra, which have, you go through all these diaries from that period, and there's photographs and, a whole range of material that, hasn't been available for curators or scholars to look at until the last couple of years. So that was a real, an important source for a lot of my research. As you say, in bringing together over 100 works, it requires also quite a lot of detective work or, writing to various auction houses and places like that can help facilitate, works that have gone into private collections. It's sort of trailing through different, visiting the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the National Gallery of Australia to go through their holdings and find works that, fit in with the theme I was exploring. But, essentially, as you mentioned, this particular exhibition sort of takes place, almost a decade after Nolan had left Heidi for good, pretty much, and was based in Europe, from the mid-50s. Nolan was based in London and, didn't really return to live in Australia after that, although he visited a lot. And in the mid-50s to mid-60s period, he was really, he was in Europe and he was sort of seeing the after effects of the Second World War and, the rise of the Cold War, and really, a lot of the things, the thinking at the time was, the decline of civilization in a way that was being felt. And he, at the invitation of a couple of expatriate Australian writers, George Johnson and Charmaine Clift, he and his wife Cynthia went to the Greek island of Aegea. And that's where Nolan sort of first began to explore the Greek myths in depth, and particularly the Trojan War. And they had long conversations, and Nolan did lots and lots of small works on different Greek mythological themes. But it was a year later when he returned to the island, and there'd been a book published on Gallipoli by Alan Moorhead. And in reading that, in that book, he draws parallels between the Gallipoli soldiers and the Trojan warriors, because those two battlefields were sort of not too far from each other, just across a peninsula. So those two kind of, that discovery sort of triggered in Nolan this idea of how he might sort of respond to the idea of conflict through these two, one historical and one mythical event. And so over the next several years, he sort of brought those two themes together in this really compelling and striking painting.
Fantastic. It sounds absolutely amazing.
Sorry, Anthony, I was going to ask you, because with this exhibition, you've also got some commission work for, is this from Heather Swan as well?
That's correct. And
is that running in parallel, isn't it? And there are
that's
links,
right.
There are
yeah. links and I should mention, yeah, definitely. I should mention the two shows are being installed this week, so they open next weekend. Heather B. Swan, we invited to develop a body of work in response to our Sidney Nolan show, and in particular, one of the theories that Nolan made a lot of work on was the myth of Leda and the Swan, which is the ancient myth where Zeus, in the guise of a swan, rapes Leda, the Spartan princess, and one of the progeny of that is Helen, who's born. Helen of Troy, who, those of you who know the story of the Trojan War will understand that when she eloped with Trojan Prince Paris, that sort of catalysed the start of the war. So in Nolan's mind, that myth was the beginning of this violent transgression that sort of triggered ongoing cycles of strife and bloodshed for into his own lifetime. So whenever we show a kind of, historic or modernist exhibition at Tarawarra, we like to pair or invite a contemporary artist to respond, to sort of provide current sort of lens on a particular theme.
A great thing.
And I think it's really important because it highlights the sort of the way, particularly in this case, the Greek myths over the centuries have always been adapted for their times by different artists and writers and playwrights and so forth. And,
yep.
and this is no exception, really. You know, the way Heather's responded is in a very different way and a very different take, obviously, from Nolan's, in that her work is really sort of thinking about the, you know, that distilling a kind of through these sculptural forms a space in which to consider a means of resistance to the theme of that sort of violation.
Fantastic. All right, so as you said, it opens next week. Have you hung it yet? Mm-hmm. Or are you busy bashing nails into walls?
That'll be happening this week, so right. Very exciting. It's actually been 3 years in the making. The show was actually meant to open last May, but like so many COVID scuppered plans, it was postponed for 18 months. So, right. So really excited to finally be bringing this all together.
Good on you. All right, and so what are the dates?
The show's open on 4th December, on Saturday, running through to the 6th of March.
So it gives everyone plenty of time. Yep.
Yeah, plenty of time. We're open Tuesdays to Sundays from 11 till 5. But from Boxing Day to the end of Jan, we're actually open 7 days, so you can come any day of the week.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Right.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for having me on. And, hope everyone makes the opportunity. It's a beautiful drive out to Tarawarra. And, definitely one not to be missed.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful gallery as well. Mm. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Anthony Fitzpatrick, who is the curator of a new exhibition at the Tarawarra Museum of Art in Hillsville, which is the Sidney Nolan Myth Rider, with also Heather B. Swan. She's part of the exhibition as well, and commission.
Exactly. Some sculptures, I think.
Yeah.
So she's really great to see. And just that a combination of the two, I think, would be interesting to work, you know, to have a look at that. Mm.
Definitely. Yeah. Even just having the sculptural and painted.
Paintings.
What are they called again?
And interesting enough, like a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Marco Lucio, the Greek mythology at 45 downstairs at present. Are we going through a renaissance of Greek mythology?
We are. And it was interesting because Marco himself said that he felt like he needed permission to tackle such a huge part of history and myth. And, I mean, it kind of seems like it's just such an ongoing well of inspiration for artists across time, as Anthony said, but also, like, you know, the capacity for myths to resonate across time.
Well, and I suppose looking at Heather's interpretation of how that works in contemporary life now is also quite an interesting aspect, you know. So there is obviously applications of what's happened in the past to what's happening now and possibly in the future as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.